This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we have seen another blessed Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that this is the most blessed day of the week. This is the day on which our father Adam alayhi salam was created, the day he entered into Jannah, the day he expelled from it. And he said that the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment, would not be established except but on a Friday. How heedless do we wake up every Friday morning? You know, everything else in creation, the birds, the trees, everything else that is living, in Friday morning, they have some shudder inside of them because they know that this day could be that day. Us, we wake up, and we're thinking about coffee. We're thinking about our phone. How many text messages have we gone off? What do I have to do today? Very unheedful and unmindful that there will be a day on this day. On this day, there will come a day when this trumpet will be blown. The skies will crack apart and fall to pieces. The stars will fall out of their places. The sun will be brought near. Jahannam will be brought forth. Jannah will be brought forth. The mizan will be brought forth. Humanity will be resurrected. And the day of judgment will commence, a day on which is 50,000 years. How heedless have we become? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to us as insan. Forever forgetful. Forever unmindful. Forever heedless. Constantly forgetting our purpose and our final destination. A man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. An important concept that as an ummah, we cannot dispense with. We have to have this. We have to have it. A man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he asked the Prophet a question. And in this question was a beautiful, beautiful context of what he wanted. He wanted something specific. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, tell me something about Islam. Tell me something about Islam. But he was very specific on what he wanted to know. He said, tell me something about Islam that after this, I will not need to ask you anything else. After this, I will not need to ask you anything else. And it will be sufficient for me to take me to Jannah. This is the attitude of the believer, by the way. This is the minhaj of the Muslim, is that they always seek the easiest road to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They always seek the easiest path to Jannah. The believer does not put themselves into hardship unnecessarily. This is not part of our deen. If there is an easy way to get to paradise, I'm going to take that way. Because when we have all made it to Jannah, it will not matter how we got there. No one's going to be asking each other, so what did you do to get here? What did you do to get here? No. We will just be happy that we made it. How you got there won't matter. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala's son, Abdullah. Imam Ahmad was a life filled with hardship. Life filled with hardship. Hardship coupled by a man who was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man whose dua brought down one of the the life of the Khalifa of the time. A man who was very close to Allah. His son asked him, when they were going through some severe hardship, he was being put through trials and tests for a simple matter, something you or I would see as non-consequential. What does it matter if the Quran was created or not created? What difference does it make? For him, this was something that came to the very core of the deen, because it was a challenge to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without the book of Allah, you have nothing. So he fought it. He went through so much hardship for this small principle. His son came to him and said, "Father, when will be our time to rest? When will be a time in our life when we'll have ease? When can we rest, Father? When can we have some ease?" You know what his father told him? "Son, we will rest when we have put both of our feet in Jannah." That's when we rest. Not even one foot, because it's not sure. When both of our feet are in Jannah, we'll rest. When the gates are closed behind you, then you can rest. But in this life, if you have to suffer in toil and turmoil, you suffer in toil and turmoil. Because this is small. This is short. It is somewhat meaningless in the glimpse of time. Akhirah is forever. So the believer seeks an easy path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was looking for the easy path. "O Messenger of Allah, give me something about Islam that after it I will not need to ask you anything else. And it will be a sufficient answer for me that will take me to Jannah." The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't even have to think about it. He responded to him. He said, "Qul amantu billahi thumma istaqim." Say that you believe in Allah and remain on that. Say, "La ilaha illallah," and stay on that. You'll go to Jannah and you won't need anything else. The man said, because the man was looking for something long. You know, his whole point in asking this question was he was hoping for like a khutbah from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The man said, "Okay, give me something else. That was too easy. You answered that one way too fast. Give me something else." But you have to understand, he had already locked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to some principles. Something that he would never need to ask anything else, and it would be sufficient to take him to Jannah. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Qul amantu billahi thumma istaqim." Say that you believe in Allah and remain on that. The man said, "Okay, yeah, I heard that. I got that one. But just give me something else." He said, "Qul amantu billahi thumma istaqim." Say that you believe in Allah and remain on that. That will be sufficient for you to take you to Jannah. And if you have nothing else, that will save you. This is the power of istiqamah, remaining steadfast on the path of tawheed. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that towards the end of time, he was talking to his companions about the end of days. He said, towards the end of time, there will be people who will know nothing about Islam. They will not pray salah. They will not give zakah. They will not fast Ramadan. They will not make hajj. They won't know anything about anything. The Quran will not even be with them anymore, because they've forgotten about it for so long, Allah has removed it. You know, in this time, the city of Mecca and Medina will be abandoned. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said his masjid will become overrun with wild animals. Towards the very, very end of time. He said, but the only thing that they will know is La ilaha illallah. This is all they'll have. And they'll only know that because they'll know that this is what our fathers and their fathers and their fathers, this is what generations before us used to say. We're Muslims because La ilaha illallah. Not saying that that excuses us today because we have everything. But at that time, that's all they have. That's the only connection they have. The companions, radiallahu anhum radahum, asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what good will this statement do them? They have no salah, they have no zakah, they have no siyam, they have nothing. What good can this statement do them? He said, if they say it truly from their hearts, it'll take them to Jannah. If they are saying it truly from their hearts, it will take them to paradise. Subhanallah. This is the power of istiqamah upon La ilaha illallah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, on the day of judgment, a man will be brought forward, and with him he'll be given 99 scrolls, huge scrolls of evil deeds. And that's what he has. He's coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place on the mizan 99 massive scrolls of masiyah, of sin. And he knows that he's doomed. It's over for me. I have no way out of this. As they are lifting them to put them on the scale, a card will fall out. A card. A piece of paper. A small sheet. A little piece of paper falls out. They pick it up. What is written on this paper? La ilaha illallah. That's what he's got. He stuck to that. He knew la ilaha illallah. It was deep in here. He may have committed so many sins. And he's thinking to himself, what good is this little paper going to do me against these 99 scrolls? And Allah says, weigh them. So the angels place the massive amount of sin on one side and the scale tips like this. There's no way, it's over. Why are you even embarrassing me with this? And then the card carrying the true statement of La ilaha illallah is placed on the other side of the scale and the weight tips it in his favor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my slave, you are forgiven. The power of your conviction in me has overweighed all of these sins that I already knew you were going to commit. Before creating you, I knew you were going to do them. You see, we catch ourselves up so much in not only our sin, but each other's sin. Love to spread and gossip and backbite. He's doing this, she's doing that. Did you see this? Did you see that? Slander and gossip and ghanima spreads like wildfire today, especially with the advance of social media. Forgetting that the very person you are talking about, or the very person that you are holding yourself down, thinking that there's no hope for you, or looking at another person with ignominy, they look at this sin this person's committed, not knowing what's inside here, not knowing if that person is a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven. You're bringing up something from 2 months ago, how do you know Allah has already forgiven them? And now you've put sin on yourself that you have to find a way to get forgiveness from. Istiqama, staying on the straight path, is the way of the believer. It is something that is so needed today, because the attitude of the Muslims of 2019 is to waver to the right and to the left. We see us going one way, then we're going another way. Politics move this way, we move with it. Social pressure moves this way, we move with it. Bending back and forth, wishy-washy, flaky at very best. Bending over to please everybody. Wanting to make everyone pleased. Let me tell you something. If your goal in life is to please everyone, the only fool in the room is you. You cannot please everyone. Not reminding ourselves that while we're trying to please everyone, that maybe we're displeasing the Creator of all things. Not realizing that the very hearts of the people you are trying to please, the very hearts that you are trying to reach, are in the two hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want the hearts of the people, you have to seek it from مُقَلِّبَ al-qulub, he who owns the hearts. Istiqama. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an said about istiqama. He was asked about it. What does this principle mean? He said, istiqama is to hold on unwaveringly, meaning that what you know to be halal, what you know to be haram from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you know to be clear, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that the halal is bayyina, it's clear. The haram is bayyina, it's clear. He said between these two are gray matters, and the best of those are those who stay away from those matters. He said it is to hold on to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without wavering. We don't flex on these principles. There are certain parts of our deen, like when it comes to fiqh and when it comes to leanings of schools of thought, where there is an ability to be flexible. There's an ability to be flexible, absolutely. And where we can be flexible, we should be flexible. But when it comes to the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when it comes to what has clearly been laid out as halal and what has clearly been laid out as haram, we don't waver on that. We don't have that choice. We cannot make that judgment. He said it's to hold on unwaveringly to the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to carry out the good deeds, to strive towards good deeds and to strive to stay away from sin, and do not seek escape routes like foxes. I've said that 3 times now on this minbar. to not seep an escape route like foxes, which we've become extremely talented at doing. Anything that we do not want to do, we will ask and question and prod and change the question and change the pros of the question and change who we ask the question to until we get the desired outcome and answer that fits our desires. This is wavering. This is flip-flopping, wish-washing. This is not the attitude of someone who believes in La ilaha illallah. Because what you are saying, what you are ratifying, when you say La ilaha illallah, you are making a bold proclamation that there is no ilah. There is no ilah except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No ilah. Nothing else can be worshipped. Nothing else can be given the same level of respect as Allah. Nothing else can be given the same level of obedience as Allah. Nothing else can be given the same level of servitude as Allah. Nothing else can be given the same level of worship as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all belongs to Him. This is what we are stating. We cannot waver in that. Istiqamah is to stay true to that. To stay true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To stay true to the Messenger of Allah. Allah praised the companions by saying that they were people, some of them, who remained true to their oaths. They remained true to their oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said this about Mus'ab ibn Umair when he found his body laying on the ground in the battlefield of Uhud. He said, and there are those who have remained true to their oath to Allah. These people were praised in this life and praised in the hereafter because of their istiqamah, because of their remaining steadfast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that there are five principles of action that one should stick to when trying to accomplish istiqamah upon the path of tawheed. Five principles. That if you can master these five principles, that you will have istiqamah down in a nutshell. You will be able to say that you've remained upon the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the path of tawheed. When we ask Allah 17 times every single day, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, we're asking Allah for istiqamah. We're asking Allah to keep us on the straight path. What is this path? This path is the path of Islam. What is the pinnacle of Islam? The pinnacle of Islam is tawheed, the affirmation of La ilaha illallah. Without it, there would be no creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that had there been more than one creator, had there been more than one creator, then both the heavens and earth would have been destroyed. So the very fact of existence is a verification of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, number one, every action that you do for Allah, try to make sure you are doing it with ikhlas, sincerity. Make sure that you free this action from anything other than doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not mix it like those who mix their deeds with showing off, who mix their deeds, they want to be seen by people. This has been talked about over and over again in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we do deeds solely for the sake of Allah. Cannot mix them whatsoever. If you pray, it should be prayed solely for the sake of Allah. If you give charity, it should be solely to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any good deed should be done with ikhlas. And we know that one of the principles in the sharia of the acceptance of any deed, any action that you do that you want to be accepted by Allah, it has to fall upon two principles. The first and foremost principle, it must be done with ikhlas. It has to be done with sincerity. The second principle is that must be in accordance to the rulings of Islam found in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Only when these two categories are fulfilled is that action then acceptable by Allah. There are principles behind everything. So he said ikhlas. The second thing is that all action should be preceded by ilm, knowledge. Action for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be preceded by knowledge. Meaning if you pray, you know why you pray five times a day. You understand the rulings of Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. You understand the arkan of Salah. You understand the arkan of Wudu. You understand Tahara. You know these things because they are commanded to be known by necessity. If you pray a certain way, you should know why you pray a certain way. This is where we find a variance in the rules of fiqh, where praying in different manners is acceptable. Praying in certain manners, and there's certain manners, you can't pray standing on your head, you can't spin in circles, you know, but if you put your hands here, alhamdulillah. If you put your hands here, alhamdulillah. Even according to a minor opinion of the Maliki school, you put your hands by your side, it's still an acceptable form of salah. But you should know why you do that. You should know why you do that, especially as parents. For those of you who have children, when you teach your children how to pray, you should teach them that this is the way to pray, not because I'm telling you to pray like this and we pray like this. We pray like this because the Prophet ﷺ prayed like this. We put our right hand over our left. Why, Baba? Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded when you're in salah to place your right hand over your left. We make ruku, we make our back as flat as it can. The Prophet ﷺ was flat, his back was so flat when he prayed that you could put a cup on it and it would not spill. Then your children are not using you as the final source of their Islam. They are going back to the source of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Just telling our children, because I said so, might work when they're little, very little. It might work, just because I said so. But if you continue to teach them that for a lifetime, what psychology are you creating in their minds? That the reason, the most legitimate reason for me to do anything is because someone said so. So if my friends who have a high, strong hold over me with peer pressure tell me, because we say so, well, it was acceptable for most of my life, so it should be acceptable here. We create a very weak mentality on our children to question things. To question, why should I do that? Seriously, what's the point of this? We should teach our children to question things, to have that yearning for knowledge and understanding. Because all actions done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be preceded with ilm. Even upon the shahada itself, Allah commands in Surah Muhammad, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. So have knowledge of لا إله إلا الله. He didn't tell us just to say, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. He said, فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. So have knowledge of لا إله إلا الله. I want my children to grow up knowing not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, but knowing who He is. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that Allah is not just Allah. Allah is the Rabb of mankind. Knowing that Allah is As-Sami', He hears everything you say and think. Knowing that Allah is Al-Basir, He sees everything that you do. When you stand in front of Him and you have a need that you can call out to Him, Ya Ghani, Ya Ar-Razaq, I'm calling out to you in necessity. That type of close, intimate relationship is the relationship I want to see my children have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To where that He becomes their khalil, their close friend, who will never lead them astray, who will never, ever, ever bring them into any harm. This is what we should want for our children, brothers and sisters. To have this type of relationship with the one who created them. You do that through knowledge. The more they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more they love Him. There's no other way. That is the only end result of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you fall in love with Allah. You have that relationship where remembering Him brings softness to the heart. Remembering Him brings tears to the eyes. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, any eye which a tear is shed, any eye upon which a tear is shed out of the remembrance and fear of Allah is an eye that Allah will never allow to see hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of our eyes from Jahannam. Ameen. So knowledge precede action. It doesn't mean you need to be an alim, a sheikh, fuqaha, mufti. No. It just means the things that you do, you know why you do them. You know why you do them. You understand them. And if you don't understand them, you go find out about them. You go find out about them. Because it might come to be that you're doing something which has not been legislated by Allah or His Messenger, which would fall into the category of bid'ah, which is of the worst. وَشَرَارُ أُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The Prophet used to say this during Khutbatul Hajjah, that the worst affairs, the most evil matters, are things which you bring into the religion, newly innovated matters, things that were not legislated by Allah or His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And those innovated matters, those new matters are bid'ah, innovations. And every bid'ah is a dalala, a misguidance. And every misguidance is in the fire. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us, there is nothing that will bring you closer to Allah except that I already told you to do it. There's nothing that will bring you closer to Allah except I've already commanded you to do it. This is why the authority of the sunnah is so important. There is nothing that would distance you from Allah except I've already forbade you from doing it. I've already told you not to do it. So we have everything that we need. Allah says in the Quran, in this book we have revealed all things. And they have been explained through the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Number 3, so we can get through this inshaAllah ta'ala. performing ibadah in the same manner as it was commanded, which is a link to point two. When you perform ibadah, you do it the way the Prophet ﷺ did it. That's it. You perform ibadah the way the Prophet did it. Some people came to Medina and they asked about the Prophet ﷺ. How does he pray at night? They said he prays a part of the night, he sleeps a part of the night. They said, how does he fast? They said he fasts some days and some days he breaks his fast. They said, what about women? Does he get married? They said, yes, he's gotten married. He has wives. They said, we can do better than that. We will pray and not sleep. We will fast and not break our fast. And we will not get married to women. We will remain chaste. When this news was brought to the Prophet ﷺ, he immediately came out to his minbar, had the adhan called so everybody would come. He was angry. His face was red. You could see displeasure on him. And he praised himself for one of the few times. Our Prophet was not someone who praised himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him. But he said, I've heard what you have said, and let me tell you, there is none of you that will worship Allah better than the way I worship Allah. There is none of you that worships Allah better than me. And I pray and I sleep. I fast and I break my fast and I get married to women. You cannot outdo me in ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we follow his command and the companions who came after them. The imams of the fuqaha, even themselves from amongst the salaf of this ummah, used to say, we look at where the companions stopped and we stop where they stopped. We look at what they did and we don't go farther than they went because they are our example. That Allah has praised them and said he was pleased with them and accepted their affairs. So we stop where they stopped. Number four, you do everything with ihsan, meaning that you do it in the best manner possible. If you own a business, you run that business with ihsan. With ihsan. You don't try to cheat anyone. You give more than you take. You try to do better in your business dealings and make them more beneficial for the one you're doing business with. In that way, Allah blesses you. Doesn't matter what your profession is, you do it with ihsan. It doesn't matter what your project is, you do it with ihsan to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number five, you restrict yourself to that which is lawful. And you stay away from the matters that are haram. It was known from amongst the companions, radiallahu anhum wa radahum, that they themselves, knowing their own soul, there's no one that knows you after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than you. You know yourself, I know myself. They would restrict themselves from some things that were halal because they were afraid they would lead them to the haram. Those gray areas where this might be permissible but it's getting very close to that line, they would restrict themselves from those matters and make those matters haram for themselves because they knew, I know myself, if I step over here, it's a very slippery slope down that line. So I'm going to stay away from that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is istiqamah. أقول قاضي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم فاستغفروا غفور رحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I would love to have time to spend another half an hour, which I don't, going through the benefits of istiqamah for you. I tried to put a few in the first where it can save you on the day of qiyamah. That shahada, that tawheed that you have in your heart can save you. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever has the faith of la ilaha illallah, even the size of a mustard seed, it's true faith, it's true, it's sincere for Allah, they will enter into paradise. All of the people of tawheed are the people of Jannah. The people of Tawheed, this is something that should be a badge of honor for the Muslim, that we are a people of Tawheed. We do not compromise that for no one. We do not compromise that for any reason. We do not compromise that for any wealth. We do not compromise that for any position. We do not compromise that for anything in this world. Not our mothers, not our fathers, not our wives, not our husbands, not our children, not our jobs. Tawheed is uncompromisable. Because wallahi, wallahi, that is the one thing you will be holding on to the dearest on the day of judgment, hoping that it will save you. With all of your sins piled up in your book, weighing on your back, you will hope that my tawheed in Allah, my confession of la ilaha illallah, I hope was sincere enough to override all of this. It's up to you. But the greatest thing that the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those who are people of istiqama. Allah says it in Surah Fusilat. It's beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that those who say their Lord is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they remain steadfast. Istiqama. They say La ilaha illallah, and they're steadfast on that. They don't shake from that. They might be people of massive sin. They might be people of indiscretion. They might be people who have stumbled time and time and time and time again. They might be people who are rich. They might be people who were poor. They might be people who lived a life of ease. They might be people who lived a life of oppression. But they stayed steadfast upon Tawheed. Allah says, those people, that when they are about to die, when they are about to die, تَتَنَزَّلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةِ, that He will send down to them angels. He will send down to them angels. Think about this. The day you die is going to be the most horribly frightening, horribly trying, testing day of your life. There's no experience like it. No experience like it. On this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people of istiqamah, He will send angels to them specially. And they will have three things that they are going to tell those souls before they take them. Three things. Number one, أَلَا تَخَافُوا, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't even be sad. وَأَبْشِرُوا, but have glad tidings. بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ, of Jannah that has been promised to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is حُسْنُ الْخَاتِمَةِ. That is a good ending. That is the ending we all hope for. We all hope that the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to make this heart stop beating in our chest, that we can meet the angels telling us, don't be afraid. Don't even be sad. But have glad tidings of Jannah that was promised to you. Because then that soul that is inside of you, is going to desire more than anything else to come out and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will want to leave. It will say, I'm done with this world. I have been given the promise of Akhirah, of Jannah. Let me go. Let me go. This is the best ending, an ending where the Prophet ﷺ said, as we finish, those who desire to meet Allah, those who have a strong desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah desires to meet them. Allah desires to meet them and give them His reward that He has promised to them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all good endings, insha'Allah ta'ala. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا أَذَابَ النَّارِ. رب اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. اللهم انصر إسلام المسلمين, اللهم انصر وعز إسلام المسلمين في كل مكان, يرحم الراحمين وأذرة الشرك والمشركين. سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, والسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر. الله